Malik v. Gonzalez, Mr. Nubani.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Zuhair Nubani, and may it please the Court, I'm here on behalf of the petitioner appellant, Kamran Malik. Your Honors, Kamran Malik is a native national of Pakistan who applied for asylum in this country. He came here in 2001. And presented his case to the immigration judge. The crux of this matter, we feel, really revolves around when he was initially stopped in Los Angeles and questioned by the authorities when they became suspicious of the passport that he was carrying. Upon inquiry, he was asked why he came here, and he initially said that he came here to work.
Just initially. That's what he said at the airport interview. He didn't change that. His interview.
Well, further on, he had a credible fear interview hearing, and he explained the reason that
right,
why.
I understand, but at the airport, he was consistent in suggesting he'd come here to work, and that his fear of going back was a fear that. His parents had borrowed the money or something like that to pay his way, and they would get into trouble.
I don't believe that he continued with that afterwards, after the credible fear interview. He did mention that.
No, but if that's what you say when you're first questioned, before you've talked to your lawyer or anything, why can't the Immigration Service attach great significance to that?
They can. However, as I said, he explained that after over 2 years.
His explanation
at the hearing is that I said when I entered the country, whatever I thought was most likely to persuade the border guards to let me in. Now, you've got somebody who says under oath that I will tell whatever lie I think serves my interests. Why should the immigration judge believe such a person, except perhaps believing his statement that he'll tell any lie that he thinks will serve his interests?
Well, I don't think the immigration judge found a credibility issue, however. He did not find that he was incredible.
Your client just fell forward on this sword when he makes this statement under oath that he will tell any lie that he thinks will help get him into the country. That's your client's own statement. You don't need to make a credibility finding beyond that. And what could possibly be left of the case after that?
Your Honor, I don't think, if you'd like to take a look at it as a whole, that is completely the picture. He is on an airplane for over 2 or 3 days. He is taken into custody right away after he comes into the airport. He's confused. He says he was not in a mental state that he could.
But when you said that the immigration judge didn't make a credibility finding, well, these opinions are terrible. But what he said was this explanation that you just gave, is not altogether convincing, particularly in light of these additional observations. Well, read in context, what he's saying, he's trying to be polite or something like that, but he's saying he doesn't believe him. That's the only way you can interpret the opinion as a whole.
He might not have believed him. If he didn't, he should have gone on the record and said that I find him incredible.
He could have written a better opinion, but as I say, the altogether. In context, the not altogether convincing sounds like an effort at politely refusing to credit the witness's testimony.
Well, if we go one step after that, Your Honors, he does present his...
Let me ask a different factual question. Is there any evidence in the record that the Muslim League regularly gives out membership cards in English?
I think that was asked on the record. The record is not this minute in my presence page for page. However, I think it was asked, and Mr. Malik says that the card is issued in English to the student branch of the Muslim League.
Yes, but that doesn't deal with my question. Is there any evidence that the Muslim League regularly gives out cards in English? Your client's explanation, to the extent I understand it, was that because his college major was English, his card was in English. And that's rather like saying the Republican Party gives out party cards in Latin if a member joins with a college major in Latin or Greek.
Well, I don't know what my client's saying, that his major was in English and that it being English is a direct derivative of it. However, what we do know is that the card that he has was...
I'm asking if there was any other evidence. That is, did the Muslim League describe its practices, or were there other people who describe its practices in a way that would enable you to figure out why, in a country where English is not an official language, this purported political credential was in English?
Your Honor, no and yes. No, English is a official language in Pakistan. It is used in all government offices, by the way. As far as why it was submitted in English, I didn't know. There's nothing in the record. I don't know why it was in English specifically, other than his testimony. No, there is nothing else in the record that I have to show that the Muslim League specifically issues these cards in English. However, I do not think there's anything in the record that disputes that he was a member of the Muslim League. The judge accepted the card into evidence. The government did not bring anything forth to contest that he was a member of the Muslim League. My client was arrested, was imprisoned, and was jailed pursuant to his testimony because of his activities after, as you well know, Mr. Musharraf, or General Musharraf, took power in Pakistan and outlawed all political parties, specifically the Muslim League. That was the political party in power before he overthrew that government. I think that the evidence in record, his testimony under the law, is sufficient to warrant a finding of past persecution and future persecution if he is returned to Pakistan. I am not going to stand here and tell you that there isn't a weak point in the case in the fact that when he was stopped, he initially said he came here to work, but I think that that was clearly explained by him. And the further facts given in the case concerning his arrest, his detention, his beating, and the warrants that he said were issued for him are clear evidence of persecution, and if he were to return to the country, that he would be jailed, persecuted, and maybe killed. I think there is supplement evidence in the country reports about the situation in Pakistan. The Pakistan leadership is still under martial law. All political parties are outlawed. The sole power is General Musharraf's party, and that's it. And I will leave the rest of the time for rebuttal on that.
Thank you, Mr. Nabhani. Ms. Schwartz?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Noraskali Schwartz for Respondent Alberto Gonzalez. First of all, we have there are two cases decided recently in which Huang and Jamal Daoud, in which there were two different rulings on the inconsistencies in airport interviews. This one is clearly a Jamal Daoud one. He was read his rights. He was told specifically, this may be your one chance to say that you fear persecution in Pakistan. Do you understand this? He had an interpreter. He said he understood it. He was given a chance to say, he was asked, is there anything else you want to say, after he said, I'm here to work so I can pay for my sister's dowry, and he declined the opportunity.
He needed an interpreter?
He did, and he had one, and he said he understood the interpreter. He's never complained about the translation at any stage of the proceedings.
No, I'm just curious, because of the English business.
That's an interesting point, Your Honor. I hadn't thought of that one.
And the card in English.
And then he goes into immigration detention. He discusses his case with other immigration detainees who basically tell him, you better make a different claim or you're not going to prevail. That's when he changes his claim. And he says that in the record.
Do we know what the practices of the Muslim League are? I just looked up Pakistan in the CIA World Factbook, which says that English is the lingua franca in Pakistan. It's used by the educated elite and governmental offices, because there's otherwise too much language disparity.
Your Honor,
I suggest that maybe the Muslim League regularly makes out all its credentials in English, and not just if you have English as a college major.
Your Honor, we don't know anything about the Muslim League other than...
Well, who is we, right? You represent
nobody.
The United States of America.
Presumably,
yes, the United States knows an answer to that question. Maybe you chose not to produce it in this hearing.
Well, that's not the case, Your Honor. The case is we produce
United
State Department
States
reports. The
United States as a whole does not know what the Muslim League does?
Not to the extent of the practices of issuing identity cards. We know what it's in the State Department reports.
So when we send a CIA operative to Pakistan, he has no idea what language to use to make out his phony credentials.
Your Honor, that what the CIA knows is not a fact in this case. What is in this case...
Except there are lots of people in the United States, in your agency, who know the answer to this question. It's kind of puzzling that nobody chooses to make it of record.
Well, let's look at what's in the record, Your Honor. First of all, let's remember it's the petitioner's burden to prove, first of all, that he is who he says he is. He entered the country on a false passport.
The reason I'm asking this question... You've kind of got an easy opponent because he's declared his willingness to lie. But it's part of your case that this is a suspicious credential. And it may well be a bogus credential, but if in fact the government knows in some other pocket that these credentials are normally made out just like that, then it's not so suspicious. And what judges think is suspicious may not be what actually is suspicious. It would help to have more knowledge.
I agree, Your Honor, and the immigration judge presumably has this knowledge, but it wasn't applied in this case because that wasn't the only problem with the document. I think
the immigration judge is the least likely person to have that.
Well, he has experience. He may have seen a Muslim-leaned document, or he may have seen something else. The problem with the document was not only that it was in English, but that it was a copy. He produced no originals. He said he had an original of his passport. He produced a copy. We don't even know that he's already used a phony passport to seek entry into the United States. We don't know, because he has copies, that he hasn't simply superimposed his photograph on a Muslim League identity card issued to Kamran Malik and superimposed his photograph on a passport issued to Kamran Malik, because he didn't produce the original. He said his family had sent it to him, but he only produced a copy. So the immigration judge, and this is where I one of the many points on which I differ with petitioner's counsel's remarks, the only reason was not the inconsistent testimony and evidence, testimony at the airport interview and at the hearing, but also because he produced unreliable documentation. He only produced copies. We don't know anything about the arrest reports. They are printed up, but the translation is not authorized, certified. They're only copies. The copies were not certified or authenticated. We don't know really what they say because they're in another language and they're not properly translated. So we don't know anything. We have no original documents establishing his identity, much less his claim to eligibility for relief. And because there is no reliable testimony or reliable documentation, we don't know who he is, and we can't assess his eligibility for relief. Moreover, he never established credibly that he was persecuted because the immigration judge did not believe him. That includes his testimony that he sustained an arrest. And because we don't know credibly, through credible evidence, that he was arrested, that he was mistreated, he hasn't established that he was mistreated on account of a statutorily protected ground, or that the alleged mistreatment, rose to the level of persecution. Therefore, he has not established that he was persecuted in the past. He is not entitled to a rebuttable presumption that he would be persecuted in the future. Moreover, the State Department reports do not identify the Muslim League as one of the organizations particularly targeted. The former president has been ousted from the country, from power and from the country, and two members of the Muslim League have been thrown out of parliament, according to the State Department reports, but this is three individuals. They are not, as organizations, targeted for persecution. And because we don't know who he is, we don't know that these arrest warrants are valid, we don't know that they pertain to petitioner, there is really no evidence in this record that compels the conclusion that he has established his eligibility for relief. I sue.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ford.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Nubani, do you have anything further?
Very quickly, since the time is very short, rather than going back into the documents itself, basically what counsel says about not fulfilling the statutory grounds is not true. You, as well as I know, that what constitutes persecution based on political opinion by testimony, if it is sufficient, is under the law considered is considered sufficient to constitute persecution. And for what Mr. Malik testified, we believe does constitute persecution, his arrest, his beating, etc. And under the statute, that does come that comes to the level of past persecution and is credible that any court would believe that there would be future persecution if he's returned to his country. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nubani. And thank you, Ms. Schwartz. Next case for argument is